You would naturally see it that way at first glance.
First, second, and as damn many as you might want to give.
Really?
Yeah.
How many people have you met since your return to this world that you would want as your neighbors?
I had neighbors I didn't like back before I got frozen.
Haven't you ever wished you could block out a certain segment of society, start it over in another image so that it wouldn't be as wasteful or destructive, whether towards others or itself?
No.
What about this world you find yourself in now? From your testimonies earlier, I'd say you and your companions haven't found much peace in Deathlands, as you call it.
Not much. I've killed more folks than I've made friends with.
I've got the power to remake the world.
By destroying the one that exists now.
Yes.
Bolt pushed himself out of his chair with ease. He approached the computers.
What you're suggesting is not the answer.
But it is! When my father prepared the beginnings of Wildroot, he wasn't sure anyone would survive. He had computers set up to handle everything. Nothing was supposed to be left. The human race would start over. However, I was already born.
So he made sure to make a place for you.
You're thinking that was selfish.
Where's your mother?
She died.
How?
She was killed.
By whom?
It no longer matters.
Who killed her?
I said it doesn't matter.
How did your father feel about her dying?
He was saddened.
I'd imagine so. Here's this great scientific mind about to reinvent the world in the image he's chosen, which is pretty damn perfect by his account, and he can't even keep his own wife safe. Sounds like pretty sloppy work to me.
My father was a great man! Don't you ever suggest that he wasn't.
Would a great man allow his wife to be killed?
Bolt crossed the room, getting within arm's reach of Mildred.
You bitch!
Mildred stood, aware of the guards shifting behind her, coming out of the shadows where they'd been.
He was careless.
She was a whore! She was cheating on my father, having affairs behind his back. She didn't believe in his dreams! Didn't think anything of the sacrifices he was making by challenging so many of the department heads!
What happened to your mother?
She deserved to die!
So he killed her? Your father killed her?
Yes! I saw him do it! She made him so angry, so furious. When he told her he'd managed to get the funding from America and that Wildroot was becoming a reality, she threatened to go to the Prime Minister himself!
England didn't support your father's ideas.
No! No! They wanted his research, his engineering of the plant life he'd worked on, but they didn't see that the world had become unredeemable!
Your father had the plague ready before the nuke storm, didn't he? He was prepared to use it.
The computer systems were ready to go. There were only a few things that remained to be done.
What?
My father had friends he wished to bring with him to this new world. But he had to do it quietly. He hadn't brought all of them into his confidence. A few of them had turned him into the corporation he was working for when he did so much of the development research. They never got the opportunity to learn the full extent of what he was planning. Instead of being recognized as a hero, he was fired! He never felt so betrayed!
Except by your mother.
Yes!
No one found out he killed her?
No. Killing her almost broke him. I remember him sitting in the floor beside her body, holding his head in his hand and weeping as if he were a child.
How did you feel about your mother?
She was weak. She deserved what she got.
And no one ever knew.
No. An investigation was starting up, but so was the war. We were at the Wildroot lab when the bombs started to fall. There was hardly any warning. My father was barely able to get us into the cryo chambers before everything was destroyed.
What is this plague?
A gem of genetic research. My father took a variant of the bubonic plague. You remember it?
Destroyed a lot of European cities in the Middle Ages.
Yes. Do you know why?
Rats spread the disease.
Ah, they were the carriers, but not the reason so many people died. They died because they were dirty, and they were stupid. They didn't know what to do with their own filth. They lived in their own excrement, didn't take care of how they treated their homes, their children, their possessions. Do you see the parallels between this world and that one?
Yes. Wait. What are you using as your carrier? Even people these days are smart enough to stay the hell away from rats.
That's the beauty of it. My father reworked the design for the plague, tying it to the plant world as well as human DNA. It can be carried on spores across the land, through algae in the water, through the fish that feed on the algae and the larger fish that feed on them. It won't be deadly to the fish, but it will infect the people who eat them.
Not everyone lives beside coastal waters.
No. That's why the plant spores will be windborne. And that's why I'm sending out the dark seeds. The dark seeds are going to be human carriers of the plague. Part of them will be acolytes who believe in their sacrifices for the greater good. They'll be able to live for as many as a half dozen years before the plague matures enough in them to kill them. They will be able to cover all of Europe and Asia, what remains of them at least, by traversing the channel. Others will spread to Deathlands and South America by joining the crews of sailing vessels that are brave enough to cross the ocean.
Why? Why bother? Most of those people out there are intent on destroying each other anyway.
We were not meant to be here. Not like this. We were destined for so much more. Can't you see that?
Where do I fit in?
I need help with the cryo chambers. They haven't been used in decades. My father's failed. You have experience with cryogenics.
Those systems could be different. I may not know enough.
I hope that's not true. Merlin should manage them without your help. I only want you as a failsafe. I thought that if you assisted me, I'd make sure there was a cryo chamber for you when the time comes to release the plague. But if you're of no use to me, I'll be taking no extra baggage.
I hear horses.
Ryan picked up the styre in one hand, then slung the straps of two of their packs over his shoulder. He picked up a third in his free hand.
Must be JB. Take the boy and come on.
Christy took up the remaining two packs in both hands, urging Tarragon forward. Ryan shoved through the door into the hallway. He kicked open the door of the room across the hall. From the way the building was designed, he had figured correctly that it had a window view of the alley behind the bent rows. He crossed to the window as Christy and Tarragon joined him.
Ryan!
JB!
We better get moving. Looks like the troops Burroughs sent for us have closed the distance.
They're in the Ville?
Already surrounding the bent rows.
All right. Take the gear. Christy, give me the other two packs.
Here.
JB slid out of the saddle and moved for the equipment packs.
I'm sending Christy and the boy to you, JB. Get them out of here. Head for the gate. I'll be along as soon as I can. Gotta take care of the wags. Otherwise, they're going to be on top of us before we get a mile gone.
Doc and Jack back yet?
Not yet, but we can't wait here. Can you make it, Tarragon?
One way or another. It's got to be better than staying here.
May Ivory Guinevere smile warmly on you and not reap you tonight, Ryan.
Thanks. Keep your ass out of the fire, Tarragon. Take this satchel, Christy. It's got some Plasex. If you run into Jack, have them hit the wags in the back. For now, I'll handle the ones up front. That should slow them down at least.
You get back with us as soon as you can.
Christy took Ryan's face roughly between her hands.
Go.
Ryan headed back to the room they'd been given, which faced the front of the bent rows. There was no time to waste. Jack and Doc moved through the empty street, heading back towards their lodgings at the bent rows. Jack drew his .357 and dropped into the shadows of the building closest to him. Doc looked from side to side, moving at hardly half Jack's speed. Then he shot for cover. He moved behind Jack, the Lama in a hard-knuckled fist.
What is it, lad?
I don't know.
Suddenly, JB erupted from the alley atop a horse, leading three others. He was followed by Christy, who held the reins of the horse bearing the Celtic boy.
Move, Doc.
Doc was slow to react, following the albino to the edge of the sidewalk. JB spotted them first.
Whoa! Where have you guys been?
It was quite a day. Ah, to see London.